Recording is on.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Verifiable Credentials for Education Task Force. It's Monday, February 6th. Our agenda today is actually an open agenda. So we've asked the community to bring their topics. Once we get to that part of the call, we'll explain how you could add those topics to the queue. But first, a few of the boilerplate items. First one is IP note. At the W3C, you must be a member to contribute any substantive work to the standards. This isn't a standard call. This is a community call, but in case you are working on those standards, in the agenda email that goes out and in the link in the chat, you will see information on how to become a member. Next, call notes are recorded. So we have a robot transcriber, and we are also recording the audio. We do have some video that is taken, although we haven't really explored that as much yet, but it is happening. So just be aware that all of these are recorded, and it's so that you can follow up, but also so that others who can't make the call can see what's going on and learn from our conversations. On these calls, we use a queue system. So we put a queue plus in the chat on the left-hand side of Jitsi, so Q plus like I'm doing right now, and that adds you to the queue. You could remove yourself from the queue by hitting Q minus. If you have a topic that you would like to talk about and you understand what that topic is, you hit Q plus and then type in your topic, which you will see will come in handy as part of our open agenda discussion. Is there anybody new to the call today or anybody who's been for a while and here for a while would like to either introduce themselves or reintroduce themselves? If so, why don't you add yourself to the queue, please?
So where do we find the queue?
So, in the chat on the left-hand side of Jitsi, just type Q plus. That will add you to the queue.
Very good. Thank you.
Sure. Would you like to introduce yourself, David?
David Baumgartner, co-founder of a software platform called Smart EduWallet, which is a digital credentials wallet for learning and experience records, LERs, that also captures learning, skills and competencies and helps people and employers map out a bridge between the skills the workforce has and the skills that they need for the jobs the employer will have either today or next year, let's say. So delighted to join. Thank you, Carrie.
Thank you, David. Does anybody else, would anybody else like to introduce themselves? If not, we can move on to announcements. Does anybody have any announcements, anything they'd like to share with us before we get started on the main topic? If so, you could add yourself to the queue right now. The Q plus. Mani, you have the floor.
Thanks, Carrie. Couple of reminders. The first one is the Verifiable Credentials Working Group meeting. The face-to-face one is happening in Miami next week. It is going to be Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. If you want to attend in person, it's probably a bit too late to ask, but it might not hurt if you still want to come. You don't have to be a member of the group to attend, but you do need permission from the chairs. And given that we don't have a ton of outside observers, it's probably still within the realm of possibility to get in. Otherwise you can request to attend, remotely. We should have, remote, tools. It'll probably be like a Zoom thing that you connect to. Those meetings will be happening all day Tuesday, half day Wednesday, and all day Thursday. With a fairly packed agenda of things to go through. That's announcement one. The second announcement is that, with a huge thanks to this group, the, Edwards Curve, crypto suite, the EDDSA, crypto suite was adopted, last week, by the Verifiable Credential Working Group. I'll put a link in the chat channel. There, that is the That is the crypto suite that we used, a lot of us used for the JFF Plugfest number 2. And my expectation is we'll continue to use it for JFF Plugfest 3, which we can talk about today. And that's it.
Great. Thanks, Ronan. Akalia, you have the floor, please.
Hi. Oh my goodness. Hi. I just wanted to share again the APAC Digital Identity Unconference inspired by IIW happening in Bangkok, Thailand, March 1. March 1 is just an evening and it's 2 full days, March 2nd and 3rd on Friday, Thursday and Friday. So if you are based in that region or are listening later to this call, or you have colleagues in your organizations or networks in that region, it's a great opportunity to connect with the communities working on just decentralized identity and regular identity systems as well. We purposely made it broader than just these technologies. We got the head of engineering for MOSIP coming, and yeah, folks from all of many countries in Asia already signed up. So it's great. I'm putting on an event called the Thoughtful Biometrics Workshop, which has now been condensed down to 1 day, March 16th, making a space for academics and industry folks and civil society folks to talk about those technologies and their implications. And then regular IIW is coming up April 18th to 20th in Mountain View, California. Registration's open. We're really committed to accessibility, so if the price is an issue, please reach out to us and we'll make sure you can come. And that's it. Thanks.
Thank you, Claire. I don't see anybody else in the queue for announcements. I have one BCIG announcement. I sent this out in email last week, but maybe not everybody is on that list to can see this. We've created a public calendar for BCIG. Let me put this in the chat for you. What we did was we published not the topics, but who's hosting, every week, up until, I think we got through Labor Day. So you'll see, if you look at this calendar, who, is hosting which weeks, and which week we would like to host an open agenda, holidays in the U.S., that type of stuff. And the way we hope this is useful is, one, you could use this calendar and add it to yours. So you have, this call in your calendar. Which was kind of hard to do before, but also you could see who's hosting. And if you have something you think you would like to present, a topic that you're interested in, and you think one of us, would, you know, be the more appropriate host for that topic, you could reach out to us individually. So also know that, like, this isn't set in stone, right? These things could change. It could be that, you know, weeks get canceled, or, you know, our schedules, clash, or we need to change weeks or something. But this is sort of a guidepost for the calls for the coming week. Okay, if everyone is ready, why don't we get to our main topic, unless anybody has anything else. And of course, just put yourself in the queue if you do. So this week, we decided to do an open agenda. We'd like to try and do this monthly if possible. As co-chairs, we could always bring topics that we are interested in, but we know that a lot of you are busy and you're working on things and you're trying to understand what's going on. And you have topics that you would like to bring. Maybe not present a whole call, but maybe you just want to talk about something that's on your mind or ask questions. So today is the first time we're going to try this open agenda. And the way we'd like to do it is if you have a topic that you would like to bring up, just type, I'm going to put an example in the chat, do a Q plus and then the topic. So say Q plus, and I'm going to put Plugfest here, Plugfest 3, because I know that's one, because it came up in the email list. And then we will have it in the queue. And what's great about that is if you do Q plus and then the topic, when we're doing the minutes later, we'll be able to link to those topics. So it's very helpful if you could do that. Okay, why don't we get started? Deb Everhart from Credential Engine. I see you are in the queue. You have the floor.
Thank you. So I'm not sure if everyone on the call knows Credential Engine. I'm not going to give a long intro, but a couple of key points that are relevant to what we'd like to talk about today. Credential Engine is a nonprofit, and we developed the credential transparency description language as an open schema and support the registry, which is an online way of long-term storage for data that's in CTDL. We do not create products. I want to be clear about that. We're not a product company, but we do have tools for converting data to CTDL and being able to publish it to the registry. So that's context for the what we would like to show today, which should take less than 10 minutes. And it's our new batch publisher. So the reason for this new capability is that, as we know, badges are very widely used. Our research shows that there's over 75 million badges that have been issued in the world, and currently about 430,000 offered in the U.S. alone. And yet many of those badges are undervalued because people don't understand what they mean. And so we advocate for using CTDL both within badges and also being able to use the alignment field in badges to link to data that's in CTDL, that is linked data that contextualizes that badge in a lot of ways to skills, pathways, other credentials and courses, etc. And that's always been possible, but we've just made a tool to make it a lot easier. So if there are any questions about the context, I'm happy to answer them, and then Jeannie's going to show us a short demo.
Yeah, thank you, Deb, and I just wanted to make sure my microphone connected.
We can hear you. Sound great.
Okay, good. I'll go ahead then, assuming I can do a screen share. And I'm going to turn off my camera, but hello, everyone. Thank you. I'm Jeannie Kitchens, Chief Technology Services Officer with Credential Engine, and I'm going to do a demonstration, as Deb said, as our new credential registry badge publishing tool. And just want to verify my screen is sharing.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. Great. What you're seeing here is we have, as Deb mentioned, we don't build products for end users, but we do build tools for converting information into CTDL linked data structure to publish to the credential registry or on the web. And this is our sandbox, and there's a bunch of tools in here, and I'm going to do the badge publisher application. So I've already logged in, and this is also available as open source code, or will be after our pilot, which is going on now. I've logged into our system, and you can see here that currently the two badging platforms that we can directly pull down badges from are Canvas Credentials and Credly, and there's an option to paste the JSON format from any platform. I'm just going to focus on the Canvas Credentials. And I also want to mention that Credential Engine, we don't deal with personally identifiable information, and we do not issue badges. So this is just bringing in the badge class. Hopefully I put my correct password in, but I'm logging into Canvas Credentials. And you'll notice up here, if I was in Canada and I did issue badges, I could select, for example, the Canada platform. But since I don't issue badges, I've selected a test platform here. I'm going to load issuers, and just so I can provide a little more context, those of you who are familiar with Canvas badges, that used to be Badger, this is my test account. I've created three badges here. I'm just going to click one of them real quick. Those of you who are familiar with badges would recognize the information you know, that a user who creates badges and issues them would include with their badges, you know, a name, potentially an expiration date for the credential or the badge, description of it, earning criteria, and alignments. And you can see down here, my alignments are all competencies. So I created three badges with competency alignments. I'm going to return back, to the tool here, and you'll recognize I've selected my account. I've logged into it. And what it's done is it's imported the three badges from the Canvas credentials into the credential registry publishing system. I can see them here. If I click view source, I'm seeing them in the Canvas credentials. So I'm going to go ahead and I've just imported that data into the credential registry publishing system. So now I can see my three badges. I can click edit if I want to. And if I needed to for some reason, I could edit any of these properties that came in with that badge. But notice what happened when I did that import is it brought all those badge properties in as CGDL. So we have the name. Our tool assigned a CTID, which is a unique global identifier that is important when that gets published to the registry or to the web. And description, credential type. I'm just going to click edit here. As you can see, you know, it just basically gives you the option to edit something. I'm not going to actually edit it. And I also want to point out I can change the badge type. It's a very common use case for a badge to be used as a proxy for another type of credential. And what you're seeing here are all the types of credentials in the CTDL. I'm not going to actually change that. The CTDL also has a way to say if I did change it, I could still say this is really a certificate, but it also is verified as a badge. So I could still have that description. And then you see the other badge properties here, and you see the competencies. And so as all of you who are familiar with the open badge specification know that alignments could be just about anything. In my case, these are competencies. And you'll see there's a toggle here to include them. And I do want to include my competencies with the import. So I'm not going to change anything. I'm just going to click finish editing and move on to my next step. And now basically I'm just going to save all three of these badges into the credential registry publishing system. So now when I'm viewing this credential, I'm seeing it in the credential registry publishing system. I changed nothing on my badging platform. Nothing has been changed. And I can see all the data I brought in, including those competencies here as the CTDL. And then I can click approve and publish, and I can publish it to the credential registry. So I've saved all three of them. I can finish my publication. And the last step in the process that I'm going to show you here is you could save all alignments back to Canvas. So I'll click that. And you could see here these, if you know the Open Badge Spec, you'll recognize these properties, target name, URL, description, framework, code. And you could see that it is URL, in this case, is to the credential registry, you know, sandbox or the sandbox credential registry finder. In production, of course, it wouldn't be the sandbox. This is just a testing environment. But the URL would be credentialengine.org finder, and that way it's saving back to my badges. So I didn't edit any of my badges. No, it wouldn't change anything on the badging platform, but I did add my alignment back to the badge, and here it is. So now if a user follows that alignment, once I publish it to the registry, they're seeing the data in the registry. This, of course, is a human-readable credential finder page that we'll see here once it loads. But the raw data in the registry, if I were to look at the raw data in the registry, I would see it's the CTDL badge. And now in our publishing system, the user can link it to other credentials. They could link this to transfer value and so forth. Let me just stop there and see if Deb, you want to add anything. stop my screen share unless there's anything anybody wants me to revisit.
That's great, Jeannie. Thank you so much, Jeannie. I love this.
Yeah.
There was a question in the chat about the OB version. So because all the badges that are out there currently are 2, this is based on 2, and we have implementation notes for 3. And as Jeannie said before, this is all open source. So we encourage having it be integrated with multiple badge platforms.
Thank you. Did you put a link in the chat to the badge publisher?
Yeah, what we'll put in the chat is a link to our comms kit, which includes a video of the demo that Jeannie just did. The badge publisher itself is in pilot and should be available very soon.
That's great.
Actually, very soon, not like when a product company says that. I used to work for a product company, so.
Okay. Deb, you are in the queue again. Did you have something else, or was this the same topic?
Oh, no, it's the same thing.
Do you mind hitting queue minus, and then that'll pull you from the queue?
Okay. Got it.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Sure. Phil Long, you put yourself in the queue, I believe, for VC Playground and also Experience U Project.
Right. Thank you. We're just – one of the things that's becoming clear to us as we're developing the pilots associated with Experience U, which Colin has mentioned a couple of times in prior meetings to this call, which is an attempt to look at whether or not emerging AI models can facilitate the transformation of unstructured data to structured data, such as a VC data model. The issue that has come up a number of times is the teams that are interested in this may very well know a lot about the AI world and the algorithms and such. They may know less about the verifiable credential world. And we'd like to see if we can, to propose at least a discussion about extending the utility of the VC playground, or potentially Deb's announcement suggests another way to view this, which is connecting in some fashion these different playgrounds that have overlapping interests and overlapping communities. In the case of Experience U project, we're trying to collect a repository of hundreds, if not thousands, of things like PDFs of transcripts and other unstructured representations of awards that will be useful as input to a tested AI transformation process. But if that was also aligned with the VC playground in some fashion, because the target data models that we're looking at that things get transferred into are VCs. And so having that sort of come together in some fashion would seem to be a useful thing for the community if we could do it without undue burden to, in the case of the VC playground, Digital Bazaar, which has been so generous at making that available to the VC community and supporting a lot of the tools in it. So that's the topic, and whether we want to talk about it now or whether we want to just put that as a placeholder to put into another meeting down the road that's up to you. Thanks.
Thanks, Phil. One question I have for you. When you say VC playground, did you mean the Chappie playground?
The Chappie playground, there's a whole bunch of things Digital Bazaar has put together in one place to be able to test the integrity of the data models, whether, you know, their fidelity, their, for developers who are building these things to be able to use. And we'd like to see about one, expanding the visibility that to it, to this new project that I just described with Experience U, but also we think that there is, a wider opportunity for this to become visible to, the increasing interest that is now emerging in the VC world, both on the HR side of things, the HR open and skills-based hiring communities that are interested in these spaces, and potentially others.
Oh, that sounds great. Manu, I know you're in the queue next, but do you have anything, any thoughts?
Yeah, yes, absolutely. Phil read my mind. I was, you know, as Deb was, you know, kind of talking through, Credential Engine, and we were watching, the demo. I was trying to figure out, like, is there a way for us to, hook up kind of what Credential Engine's doing to the Chappie playground, or, you know, maybe a broader verifiable credential playground. That is definitely something that we are planning on spending some time this year doing, which is basically trying to take us out of the critical path of creating these credentials and trying to make it much more open to the community. We are planning on having, like, for years now, we, as in the community, VC Edu, the credentials community group has wanted this, like, verifiable credentials examples repo. And I think we're just on the cusp of enabling that. And that would be just a totally open, in the beginning, GitHub repository that all the different companies can kind of just dump content into, like verifiable credential templates. And I was wondering if there's a way for us to type, pull from Credential Engine, to get stuff into that playground so that, so effectively the types of credentials that we can issue starts going, you know, exponential, maybe not exponential, but like, you know, tens to, you know, hundreds of different types of credentials that could be issued through the playground so that when one of us in the community needs to kind of show just an example, a demo flow, or just wants to see if our product, you know, is conformant with the stuff that's out there, we'd be able to do it and we'd be able to kind of work on this thing as a community. So I think the desire is absolutely there. We are planning on, you know, trying to start using like the VC examples repository and credentials community group to kind of pull content from there. And of course, you know, the reason we kind of want to separate that repository out is so that other people can create their own playgrounds. Like maybe there is a better one for like a playground specific for like education credentials, or a playground specific for like, government ID credentials, or a playground that's specific to, supply chain, right? So that kind of we can improve the amount of tooling that's available to the community to just test interoperability and kind of show demos. So yes, absolutely. Like there's a huge desire to do that. I think JFF, the Plugfest 2 really pushed, kind of our need to show that. And I would imagine JFF Plugfest 3 is going to even further kind of push those capabilities. So now it's a matter of kind of putting the pieces together. Like Credential Engine exists and it's awesome, and we want to figure out a way to pull that stuff into the playground so that we have the ability to issue a much broader set of credentials. So very, very interested in collaborating on that. I put myself on the queue for something totally different though, but I can take a break and come back around to that later, Carrie.
That's the year.
I just wanted to add that, a data model that we would like, to include in the, unstructured to structured data pilots for the AI side of stuff includes the LEM from the EU community. I saw that, Anthony Camilleri is on the queue as well. We would like to be able to extend our connection to the work that's the terrific work going on in the EU, in this concept of the playground, if possible, and maybe perhaps he can comment on that as well. Thanks.
And actually before, thank you, Phil and Manu. Anthony, are you in the queue to reply to this, or do you have your own topic for the call?
I have my own topic, so I'll wait my turn.
Okay, thank you. Manu, you're in the queue twice. Do you have two topics or just
one? Yes. The next one's a little shorter, and is a bit more down in the weeds.
Okay.
But I'll try to cover it quickly. With lots of thanks to this community, we were able to get the Edwards crypto suite into the verifiable credentials working group. And that's great. For those of you that are not familiar, the Edwards crypto suite is like a very modern, crypto suite. It's as bleeding edge as you can get and still get something into production. with you know the community. So this crypto suite is in the newest draft of the NIST standards for acceptable cryptography. So the good news there is like we're ahead of the curve there, and like we kind of hit the sweet spot there, right? We got it right as NIST said, yes, we're going to accept this, but it's not built out into products yet. Which means that some of you that are trying to go into production with verifiable credentials in the next 2 years are going to have a hard time getting that deployed if, for example, your customer, like a university or a state government or a federal government, requires you to do your cryptography in something called a hardware security module. So this is what these hardware security modules look like. They're companies like Talus, which is how you pronounce this, that sell hardware into data centers to do cryptography. So they've got these big, you know, these computers, one U chassis, they've got PCI cards, they've got USB devices. And these go through a very lengthy qualification process, such that, you know, nation states, or even universities depend on these to do their digital signatures. Now, these things do not have EDDSA built into them, and they probably won't for another 1 to 2 years or so. So there's a real need for ECDSA as well. This is another type of elliptic curve. This thing has been around for like 15 plus years, right? So this is what governments and universities use today. And this is just a heads up that we are planning on standardizing this as well through the Verifiable Credentials Working Group. But people have really focused on the next generation cutting edge stuff and not necessarily the boring, like this is already deployed stuff. So, there's just this one that we're trying to get into Verifiable Credentials Working Group. The hope is we're going to try it in the next couple of months. But we are going to need like partners to like other vendors to implement it as well. It's fairly easy to implement. Like it's already there and done. And if you've done EDDSA, doing ECDSA is like very, very minor modifications and changes, but it's work that needs to be done. So I'm just giving a heads up that, you know, we are looking for companies to go, yes, we have government customers, or yes, we have university customers or state governments, where we know that this is a requirement. And so we want to help, you know, push this, standard through W3C as well. So that's just a heads up. If you're interested in helping with that, please let me know. That's it.
Thank you, Manu. Does anybody have any questions for Manu before we move on to the next topic? Okay, we can always circle back if we have questions. Or Manu, we can always revisit this at a more dedicated call if we need to at some time.
Great, thanks.
Sure. Okay, Sharon, you have the floor now.
Great. I am putting a slide deck. I'm going to talk very, very fast. This is just for discussion purposes only, and I will also try to share my screen. Screen sharing failed. Okay, so I'm going to just talk, and the slides are in the chat. Essentially wanted to share a proposal. So this is where we have talked a lot. Oh, thank you. About what it is that we could do next. And here's where we landed and wanted to make sure to have, a few, like have share this, hear your comments before we make this official. So here's our approach that we are preparing. And so just to review, the next slide just shares our overall goal. So like, why does an organization like Jobs for the Future care about PlugFest? Essentially, our goal is to build a functional learning and employment record, which means that individuals using these an LER through like, you know, all of the things in the stack, including the wallet, can store multiple credentials issued by multiple issuers. They can preserve control and choice over how they store and share their credentials. And obviously that the credentials themselves demonstrate that we are able to then demonstrate some kind of utility to the credentials ecosystem. Like, for example, credentials are used for decision making, right? So If you go to the next slide, this is where I think we have made some really great progress. Our first PlugFest, we showed that there are many wallets actually that can display verifiable credentials and that the credentials themselves can be tested and are sort of useful in being unpacked. This most recent second PlugFest, we were able to demonstrate that actually open badges from multiple issuers could be issued to a wallet and that wallets could hold them and that issuers can issue to multiple wallet types. So I think that we have made some really good progress towards the multiple issuers, multiple credentials. And so I think that as we were thinking about what the next step is, if you look at slide four, we heard a lot of really great ideas. And the hard thing for us to do was to think about what was the next right small step versus what was a giant leap, right? So some of the ideas that we had heard from you all and others was that presentation exchange, verification by relying party, wallet to wallet, semantic interoperability, user experience were all really important. And we agree that all of them were important, but we needed to pick the right next one. And so starting in slide five, you'll see what is our proposal for PlugFest 3. So PlugFest 3, we think, is the right next small step. Because in order to have the entire sort of presentation request, use of the digital credentials, integration with applicant tracking systems or student information systems, all of that, I think we need to first focus on presentation exchange workflow. So our proposed technical exercise is a verifier requests a set of credentials from the holder. Holder selects three, and this is just a number I made up, could be two, right? Relevant credentials from the wallet. The holder presents to the verifier in form of verifiable presentation, and then the verifier is able to verify the authenticity of the VP as well as the individual VCs. So that's our general proposal. And I guess I'll just run through these really fast. So in slide six, it's just our, I think what we wanted to control is the verifiable credentials. We're thinking that we would provide the set of credentials to be used, that we might provide some sort of standardized issuer registry, and that we would go with the two protocols that really stood out from PlugFest 2. Perhaps controversially de-emphasize unless they really bring their game. Game is the like sort of DIDCOM protocol. Stuff that we think that we still need to discuss is like what does the verifier request look like and is there a version of a playground that we can invest in as a resource for this community. And then we think the timeline will still be about 3 to 4 months of work. And so if you think that this is the technical activities are scoped to be like too hard, so it would take something like 5 months, or too easy, like you could do it in a weekend, that is something that we would love feedback on as well. And then finally, how we want to think about participation. So again, we want to emphasize the wallet functionality. Like users of the wallet can curate verifiable presentation. And so we will focus on the presentation aspect. So most of the work we anticipate will be for the wallet implementers. We do want to start scoping verifier participation, even though we were talking about the playground, because we anticipate like the next small step after this being an integration with real verifiers. So we want their feedback as part of this process as well. Obviously, develop some tools that verifiers in the future who do want to participate in this verifiable credentials ecosystem could easily implement in their own context, as well as a set of reference implementations that people can take a look at to what Manu was saying earlier. Like if we could pull some examples, it might make it easier for people to adopt. So I'm going to stop talking. I realize this is really fast. And if anyone has any questions, happy to engage either now or later if there are other topics that people want to discuss.
Thanks, Sharon. Simone answered a question for Phil, but I thought we might just talk about it out loud anyway. And he says, when you say verifier request, is this referencing the query from the verifier asking for the credential types they wish to see in the VP? And is it credential types or is it certain credentials or is that to be figured out?
I think that we were saying credential. Okay, so the answer is yes. And I think that the answer is that it's a type, like it's both that it's a type of credential, but because we're limiting the set of credentials, it will be, it end up like functionally being the specific example or a specific credential.
Okay, that makes sense. I don't see, oh wait, Manu, are you in the queue for this topic?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Just a note, we are adding verification to the playground as we speak. We took a risk and thought maybe Plugfest 3 might have something to do with verification. Plus it's something that the ecosystem needs anyway. So we're actively working on that right now, meeting engineers engaged writing code, and testing right now. I don't have an ETA on that, yet, but we're hoping we're, you know, just a few weeks away from being able to go live with that. And the hope was that we'd be able to set that up before Plugfest 3 kicked off. Clearly, like, we have no idea if that is going to line up perfectly. It's not going to line up perfectly. Like, we already know that, but, we're very willing to, like, adjust to make sure that it lines up and hopefully can be one of the tools that's used, for verification, during, Plugfest 3. The other thing that, we're actively working on is building in OIDC to the playground as well, in an attempt to make it easier on everyone. So we should be able to support both of these protocols through the playground, and we should have verification in the playground. But I can't give a date yet because our engineering teams will probably kill me, if I say the wrong date. So, it's on its way. Just as a heads up, in the hopes that it helps us coordinate a bit better. That's it.
I think that's wonderful, Manu. I wonder if, like, offline we can connect about what you think the estimated timeline is and whether it actually, like, how much of a mismatch it is.
Yep. That sounds good. And happy to make it into a community discussion as well. So cool. Either way.
That's great, Manu. Thank you. Phil Long, are you also in the queue for Plugfest 3?
Yes. I just wanted, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. First of all, I think this is a terrific next step, Sharon. So this is really helpful. You made a brief comment, but I'm not sure I connected it properly about the notion of this being part of the workflow in the context of job skills and the job submission workflow to an ATS system, for example. And so I just wanted to ask if you would make a further elaboration. Are you thinking about this as something that an ATS system would use, something like VC Chappie, as an API to consume presentations, and or the other side of it, when the ATS passes information about candidates that they've matched onto an HRIS system, a similar process using a VP to pass data through a VC a Chappie interface?
I think it could be any of those, Phil. I think I said that quickly because it was as an example. I think there are definitely a ton of verifier and relying party endpoints. And I think that as we think about the next small step after this, I want to think about really understanding the requirements necessary to do any number of those. And so I think this will give us information that will allow us to find out more information about how that integration would work, whether with an HRIS system, ATS system, student information system, or any of the other kinds of endpoints.
Thank you. That's helpful. Thanks.
That's great. Thank you, Sharon. And Sharon, if you want, we can work on an email and use the VC Edu list to keep talking about this with the community as we
Perfect.
Get ready. Great. Thank you. Okay, I don't see anything else here in the queue about Plugfest, so we have about a little under 15 minutes left. So, Anthony, the floor is yours for the remainder of the call.
Thank you very much. I thought I'd just share a few of the updates we've been doing in Europe, because we've been, let's say, in the work we're doing with the Commission, doing a lot of upgrades on data models and on applications. So just, let's say, a list of stuff you're going to be hearing about a little bit in the coming months. First of all, version 3 of the European Learning Model is going to be released this March. It's already more or less complete on GitHub, but it will, let's say, be officially launched coming from March. And that data model is being considered, let's say, a long-term support version of the data model. So while we've released, let's say, more or less one version of the data model per year in the last 3 years, the idea is that this one should now be stable and move on, be used in the future. Together with it, we are also launching version 2 of the European Digital Credentials Infrastructure. The big upgrade on this is that while before we, let's say, followed the information structure of a verifiable credential, it would be hard to call it a VC because everything was coded in XML. So we are moving, we've more or less rebuilt the infrastructure from the ground up, and also released end of March, beginning of April, the new version of the services will come out that will be native VCs and signed with JDES digital signatures, which is a European standard for legally binding digital signatures. All of this will be released in a couple of different ways. First of all, we will have, let's say, an online web service that will allow anyone to issue their own VCs directly to people's web wallets. Also, all the code will be open sourced. It'll be available as Docker images, so on and so forth. We also will be releasing an online verifier API that will, let's say, run a check of the authenticity of the credential, but a whole bunch of other checks together with it. A few of the highlights of things we've managed into this release. First of all, we will be having, let's say, two flavors of credentials, one of which is, let's say, more open and which anyone can issue. And the second flavor, which we call accredited credentials, will be based on a trusted issuer registry and will be using the evidence property to actually link back to the entries in that trusted issuer registry. Another feature is that we've thought about visual representations of the credentials. So credentials will generally have their visual representation encoded inside the credential as an image file. Thirdly, we are distinguishing between what we call awarding bodies and what we call signing institutions, with, let's say, the issuer of the credential in VC spec being the signing organization, but allowing you to represent several awarding bodies within that credential when necessary. Last thing, which is something, is that, let's say, at least European digital signatures tend to expire after 3 to 4 years. So we've been using something called JDES LTA, which is long-term archival, and basically the wallets will now essentially extend the validity of the signatures every 3 to 4 years by adding a new digitally signed timestamp to that every 3 to 4 years, and thus allowing credential validity in the 40 to 50 year period. A few stats on what all this will mean. First of all, in terms of usage of the European Learning Model V3, we have some countries in Europe will start using it natively. We have others that are converting their databases to it. But at launch, we will have 20 countries representing data in ELM V3. And let's say our own directory of courses, which is more or less what Credential Engine would call credentials, will launch with, let's say, 50,000 learning opportunities on day one. We also will be converting 6 million user wallets to accept EU-style verifiable credentials. And we will be, let's say, mapping credentials against the ESCO database, which will be 65,000 skills and I think around 11,000 occupations. So that just gives you, let's say, an idea of the scale of the project. One last thing, all of this will be the data model and the application will be translated into 30 different languages at launch, which basically is all European languages and, let's say, countries neighboring to Europe. So you've got everything from German to Welsh to Ukrainian in there. A couple more words about what is coming up this year. So there are, let's say, the quest to fully adopt VCs never ends. So what we won't be doing in March is having support for DIDS. But the idea is that, let's say, we will integrate DIDS support until the end of 2023. And we will be doing that by integrating the technology of the European blockchain services. We'll start with the implementation of the EBCDID methods and integrating OIDC protocols into the stack until the end of the year. And of interest as well is that we are also playing around with some AI models. So the answer to the previous question is that yes, we would love to. So we will be launching an AI that basically does natural language processing on the credentials and can extract ESCO skills across the 30 languages of the platform. And a lot of the work, let's say, our A lot of the work our team has been doing is really trying to make that work multilingual. Last thing to say is on the mappings. So in the end, our job and let's say our mandate is to interconnect national systems of learning. So in the end, we want to enable cross-border portability of credentials. We tend to think of the European learning model as a meta model. So all at the launch of this one, we have already done a lot of work to integrate with another European standard, which is called ELMO. And we've, let's say, provided full mapping tables and so on with ELMO. We are very, very open to new mapping collaborations because in the end, that forwards our, mission further. So that's a very, very short update of what's a fair amount of work. A lot of the work we've done is inspired by stuff that happens in this group. So my thanks go out to everyone here and always happy to collaborate on any of the many topics I just mentioned.
Anthony, that was an incredible update. I hope we can get you back here maybe early March, as soon as you're ready to really dig into this for us, because that was a lot of information and super exciting stuff. That's great. Phil, we have you you put yourself in the queue and you took yourself out. Okay, we'll stop there. But yeah, that is excellent. And also, I just have one question, just keeping an eye on time, is a lot of us in the US space have been talking a lot about open badges. And could you talk a little bit about the alignment between those two? Or between the work you've been doing, I'm sorry, and with open badges.
Sure. So at least on open badges, I'm actually in the middle of an integration proposal at the moment. So let's say we've had open badges support on our roadmap for a while, but now it's getting a little bit more real. So what we're planning to do is, first of all, of course, do a data model mapping against open badges. But more importantly, we now have a VC wallet that can accept, different types of VCs. So I don't have a timeline yet, but I can tell you that, open badges and, supporting open badges in our wallets is now, very, very formally on the roadmap, which probably means something in the 9 to 20 month region. If you ask me again in a month, I would probably be able to, nail that down a lot more specifically.
Excellent. Thank you. Hey, everybody. That was great for our first try doing an open agenda. I would like to thank all of you for all of these rich topics between badge credentialing and crypto suites and AI and what's going on in Europe. Holy cow, that's a lot of stuff. Thank you very much. Looking forward to doing this again. And and Susan, I see you in the queue. Would you like to say something? Nope. Okay. All right then, everybody, have an excellent week, and I will see you again soon. Thank you.